Hey family, when's the last time you went to Westside Tavern? If you're thinking about it, it's probably been too long. Go ahead and check out the new Old Castle English Style Brown Ale, their soon-to-be classic 147 West IPA, Last One Down Lager, and the for sure staple classic Plague Me Porter. Open 10 to 10 every day with one of the coolest crews in town. Head to Westside Tavern to be spoiled every second of every minute you're there. See you guys at Westside Tavern. Listening to the Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. Three, two, one. My family, we are here in the heart of Quitos. I am joined by one of my favorite people, and beer wench.
Oh, no.
The lovely Miss Diaz. Diaz, how are you doing today?
Oh, so good. It's so early and so cold.
That's your fault, actually.
I know it is my fault.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, you guys. Call Mate. No, it's good. I like waking up early because then I have the rest of the day to do things.
Like work?
Work. Yeah. Come see me at 10 a.m.
Today.
On a Saturday.
On a Saturday, yeah.
But anyway, welcome.
Thank you.
And we have one of your dearest friends.
Yes. I'm so excited.
You are. Yeah.
I'm going to.
This has been in the works for months and months,
months
and
dude.
Months.
Yeah. So my friend Patrick Wong is here.
What's up, E-Wong?
Good morrow.
How's it going?
It's good seeing you, man. It's good having you on here. It's good to have a conversation. And man, I adore you. I've adored you before I even met you face to face.
I know. It was weird. But in like a positive way.
Good. I hope it was.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to slide into your DMs.
No, because we texted for months before I had ever actually met you.
Absolutely.
And I was always telling people, I was like, he's really positive, but it's not annoying. It's kind of weird.
As opposed to your friend.
I will take
that.
I will take the compliment. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. He's a total opposite of you.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I know.
I mean, yeah. I don't have as much platinum as you do yet. I want platinum. I want more platinum.
In like my teeth?
that too. I'll take it.
I got a grill. No, I don't. It. I'm not gangster.
But so I want to know the story between how did you guys meet? How did you two meet?
So when I lived in Vegas, I bar managed a place called 595 Craft and Kitchen. Shout out to Van and the team. And we had 24 rotating beer taps. And
jeez.
Patrick was a brewer at Joseph James. And we would do tap takeovers all the time, which I'm also wearing the t-shirt. And so, yeah, so I just met him in the beer scene in Vegas, but like not actually like I remember meeting you, but we never really talked that much.
Yeah, I think in Vegas, we probably only met a handful of times.
Yeah, and it was,
and
mostly,
it was always at 595.
It was always at 595 because I was like, I lived there. I was, yeah, if you're a bar manager at a craft
and
beer
like,
bar.
Kyle, who's one of my
Kyle.
Bosses at JJ,
yep.
he's best friends with the band. Mm-hmm. So we were always there.
Yeah. So it was always fun to see, you know, always have the brewers in the bar. And it's a cute little tiny bar. So it's like you can't miss each other. You know what I mean? And you're just like, hey, hi. But then I had to run away and do stuff. And then you moved here. And I heard that you came to Bewilder. And you're like, hey, is Diaz here? And I wasn't because I didn't live there at the time. And I was like, Patrick. I was like, how do I know that name? And then I think I had to like look you up or ask someone. And I was just
it was Marino.
Yeah, it was Marino. It was the Abel Baker head brewer. And I was just like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, my God, it's all clicking now. Like, for some reason, I thought that some other person was trying to find me at Bewilder. And I was like, who is this stalker? I'm just going to run away. But it was you, yeah. And then you came in and had a pint at Bewilder. And
I believe it was Sarah was bartending.
Yeah,
and
Sarah was bartending.
I think I was wearing my Abel Baker shirt.
Oh, okay. And I think she might have recognized that.
I think that's what it was. Yeah, she was like my boss. I can't remember. She was like my coworker or something. Used to work there. I was like, wait a minute. This is where Diaz works.
Yeah.
Like, I think I just went to get Molly Porter or something like that.
Oh, yeah. So, man, so it's our year
anniversary.
Cheers.
Salute, I say.
Clink. Cute.
This is all water, by the way, guys.
I have tea. Blueberry green tea.
That's a cool story. I like that.
Yeah.
And then not too long after that, you got my number through the grapevine.
Yeah. So I was looking to move around and Diaz mentioned that she had this friend
that knew everyone.
That knew everyone. Hmm. I think it was after my first round of applying at Squasatch, like right before Steve moved over to proper.
Oh yeah, you were there before Steve left though. Right?
No,
no, it was the same time.
No, so I got an interview with Steve, but he had literally just turned in his notice to go to proper.
Gotcha.
So that fell through, and then I think it was after that when Diaz gave me your number and you put me in touch with Ryan.
And then who became the new head brewer?
Yeah.
And I was like, give this man a job. No.
Yeah. Aw. Yeah. I love it. I love
anyway,
that there's connections.
Because there was, I don't know what it was about you, Patrick, but when I first met you without meeting you, I felt your energy through our connection. And if I trust Diaz, don't tell her I said that. But I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do whatever it takes to help this individual. I don't know who you are, but yeah.
It's, and I think anybody who knows me will think it's weird that you would say that you felt my energy without even meeting me, because I'm usually known as this.
Nah, you're
level,
a sweetheart, man.
Not very energetic person.
Stop.
I love when we, I feel like I see you the
Plus
most.
I'm drinking
Fisher.
When I talk.
But whenever, you know, I think you have a good soul, you have a good spirit, good heart. And I follow my intuition with people and I'm like,
thank you.
I like this guy.
Like a weird gut feeling that you're belly gets and you're just like, oh, this human's a good human.
Yeah, and I like good humans, and that's why I try to interview as many
They're
as I can.
Tasty.
Okay, Dahmer.
Taste master.
I'm assuming you just finished that.
I don't watch it.
It's scary. Don't do it.
So, P. Wong, I want to know, where are you from? Where you come from? Let's get to the origin story of P. Wong before the Vegas days, before Diaz.
Well, back in 1976. No. yeah, so I was born and raised in Virginia. Fairfax, just outside of D.C.
Okay.
I already kind of blanked on what you were
How long were you in Virginia?
Oh, geez. 30? I think I was like 36 when I finally moved.
Oh, you stayed there for 36 years?
Yeah. Born and raised there.
Big family, small family?
Small. So both my parents are immigrants.
What kind of immigrants?
So my dad was from China and my mom's from Ireland.
Ooh.
And we didn't really know my dad's extended family because he was of the age that he left China because of the communist revolution. So we didn't really know his side of the family.
To this day still?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's kind of lost in time kind of thing. My mom is the youngest of six, so there was plenty of family too. I actually haven't met any of my uncles because to the best of my knowledge, none of them have come overseas. I've talked to them on the phone and can't understand a word they say.
Yes. this makes me happy.
My aunts I can understand. My uncles, for the life of me, not at all. Yeah, so they're both immigrants. They met in the D.C. area. They had me and my brother and my sister. Yeah, I keep
Patrick
losing
is
my train of thought.
Patrick is an Irish name, and then Wong is very
Chinese.
Yeah,
yeah.
I tell people I'm Chinese and Irish, they're like, no, you're not. I'm like, my name is Patrick Joseph Wong.
Oh, that makes
they're
sense.
They're like, oh, yeah, total sense. Got it.
Yeah. So,
and you look good in green.
You
so
do
there
look
it
good
is.
In green.
You can't pinch him now. It's also not St. Patrick's
so,
Day.
Have
you
well, gone? I used to never wear green on St. Patrick's Day. I was like, my name's Patrick, so come at me, bro.
Come at me, bro.
So then you left 36 years. You left Virginia and you went to Texas. Is that what I hear?
California first.
California. What part of California?
Huntington Beach.
Okay.
So the most, well, I shouldn't throw aspersions. It was nice to live near the beach. There are reasons not to enjoy that town, though. Well, so in Virginia, I worked in distribution for like 16 years, like beer and wine, and then needed a change. Realized I wanted to make beer instead of selling it and stocking it.
Mm-hmm.
Had some friends move to California. They're like, hey, you can come live with us. Did that. Lived there for a year. Tried my damnedest to get a job at a brewery because it's Southern California.
Right.
There's like a million.
Well, there's also the brewery is there.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I got to work there. I can't even, six, seven times I applied there. And I wasn't even applying for production spots half the time. I was applying for like warehouse positions because I'm like, I was in distribution. Yeah. I'm like, it was in distribution. I had that experience. Couldn't even get an interview there. I was applying at Stone, which is like, you know, 2.5 hours away from where I was living, just anywhere. And no takers. And then I quit my job because I'm not going to say where I was working, but the owner was a nightmare and stopped paying us. So I quit And you can't live in Southern California without a job. You can't live in Southern California with a job, let alone yeah. without a job.
You need like four.
So some friends of mine had just bought a house in Houston that I knew from back in Virginia. And so I moved down there.
The armpit of Texas.
Oh, no.
So I had a friend of mine who did her residency there because it's a big medical town.
Yeah.
And she was like, why would you want to move there? It's like living inside of a dog's mouth. And then I moved there and I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
It's humid year round there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. At least when I lived in Austin, you got a break in the winter. In there, like 2 weeks of winter, yeah. you got a break.
But still.
But Austin's technically like the hill country. It wasn't as humid mm-hmm. as yeah. Houston was. Yeah, so I lived there for like a year.
Trying to do the same thing? Trying to move beer? Trying to get yeah. a job in beer?
Yeah. Was applying. There. When I first moved there, I think there were only like maybe six breweries, five or six breweries in Houston.
Oh, damn.
And then, what did I apply to? I can't remember what the position was. It was a brewery called Buffalo Bayou Brewing Company. I think it just said generalist or something like that, which really meant I was pack off on the canning line. I was building pallets and then washing kegs. Like that's how I started.
Nice. Is that the only brewery that you worked at in Houston?
I helped out at a couple other ones, but not enough to really say I worked there.
Yeah.
Just buddies that I was helping out.
And then afterwards, you fly to or drive to Vegas?
Yeah. So I worked at Buffalo Bayou for, I'm going to say 4 years.
Damn.
Yeah. So like I moved up through the ranks there. I left that place. I can't remember what my title was. I was a head brewer, but I didn't have that title. Mm. I can't remember what they were calling me.
That guy.
Yeah. He's the one that makes the beer.
He's the guy.
Yeah. I was in charge of the hot side and the cold side. I was in charge of like procurement, like raw materials procurement, stuff like that, and managing people, training people, all that kind of stuff. And it was slowly killing me. So I decided I need to leave. And again, had a friend move to Vegas. They were like, you can stay with me. And so I just started, before this, I just started looking up Pro Brewer and just applying. Like I applied to Sapporo in Japan. I applied to a brewery in New Zealand. I applied to Guinness in Dublin. Like I was just throwing my resume out there, just like whatever.
But you knew you wanted to be in beer. Is that where your heart's at?
Oh yeah, I didn't want to leave brewing. I just wanted to leave the place I was at.
The dog's mouth.
Yeah. And,
inside of a dog's
you
mouth.
Know, I had some great times in Houston, but yeah, I wanted to leave Texas as well. I had no, there wasn't anywhere specific I had in mind to go. And then I saw the posting for Joseph James was hiring for an assistant brewer, which in my experience means they need a cellar person and you get more people to apply if you say brewer.
Yeah.
I applied and Kyle, who was the head brewer at the time, and Matt Marino, who was the operations director now at Able Baker. Yeah, they picked me up. Part of what caught my eye was the end of the job posting. It said, a knowledge that pressure and chemicals can kill you is a plus. So at the bottom of my cover letter, I wrote a PS that says, I understand that pressure and chemicals can kill me. Kyle swears he doesn't remember that.
Kyle doesn't remember a lot of things.
Yeah, our admin person, Kayla, you know Kayla.
I do know Kayla. Yeah, she's at
she's
Able
also
Baker.
At Able Baker yeah. now. She always points out that she remembers that because she read my cover letter. Yeah, so
clever.
Interview with them on the phone, and they offered me the job, and I moved.
And were you just that solo warrior the whole time, just kind of doing you? Did you have a partner?
Oh, no, no.
Just by yourself?
Yeah.
Just move. You didn't have kids, didn't have pets, didn't have...
No, I did have two dogs. When I left Virginia, I had two dogs. One of them passed away before I left Houston, but I still have the other one, London, which I think both... I know you've met.
I've met London.
I don't know, yeah. David, if you've met London.
I think you...
He looks like a white wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no partner, no kids, not my thing.
So you kept moving around. So then you're able to pack up in essence and just kind of leave.
Yeah. Like when I left Virginia, I got rid of it. Like I had my own apartment for 4 or 5 years. So I had junk, lots and lots of junk. I got rid of everything that didn't fit my pickup truck. And that included my two dogs.
Oh.
And that's what I drove to California.
Damn.
That's
a drive.
Texas. And then Texas, I moved from a pickup truck to an Outback, so I even had to downsize even more when I moved from Texas to Vegas. It was just like, doesn't fit in my car, I'm not taking it.
And then you made the drive to Vegas. And how long were you in Vegas for?
2 years, 2.5 years, I think. I was at Joseph James for a year before we closed right as the pandemic started, but it was unrelated. Our parent company closed us down. And then I was at Astronomy for a year.
For a hot second. And then you also helped at Abel Baker.
Yeah, I helped out at Abel Baker. Yeah. So yeah, about 2 years, 2.5 years.
So during this time, did you do any home brewing? Did you brew on the side? Did you care to brew?
I didn't really homebrew until after I started in this business, which is, I mean, I had a Mr. Beer kit when I was like 22 to horrible results, which I think is everybody's experience.
Did you try doing an Irish stout first?
No, I think I did a whip beer first.
Oh, okay.
The most not Irish Chinese thing you could do.
Well, I'm big on Belgian beers, and I was big on Hoegaarden at the time. So I tried a whip beer first. I think I brewed with it like maybe 3 times and it was all horrendous.
They're tough. I think they're tough.
Yeah. So it wasn't until I started at Buffalo Bayou, because we had like, our brew house, we had it set up so that you could do 5 gallon batches. Like you could run glycol chilled water from our brew house heat exchanger into a coil chiller.
No way.
So like, you know, one of the hardest things homebrewing is like cooling down your wort when you're done.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was very, plus brewing at a brewery as opposed to in your kitchen, like everything you just dump on the floor and hose it into the floor drain.
Yeah, right. And the kitchen's so, like, fuck.
Yeah. You're like, so great, now I have spent grain. What do I do with this shit?
Yeah, so I started doing a little bit of homebrewing. Actually, I was doing a fair amount of homebrewing there because I think it was there like 6 or 7 months before I even got on the, before I was made a brewer. So because I finally got my foot in the door, I was like, all right, I got to go. I got to start doing stuff. So me and one of my roommates at the time kind of went like heads in homebrewing. Very mixed results.
Anything stand out? Any lavish recipes or failed experiments?
There were plenty of failed experiences. I tried to do a brown ale with hazelnut flour in the mash. That was
in
a nightmare.
The mash.
Yeah, that was a nightmare.
Oh my.
I think I just threw it away. Because it just stuck. I didn't know what I was doing.
100%.
Yeah. I think that's when I started my love of trying to make an orange creamsicle ale, which I do like keto. It's different than the one that I've made, but yeah. I do enjoy it. But I like that whole like trying other people's twist on like things that I've tried to make kind of thing. Definitely did like a Duvel clone that I loved. I did a Saison that I've been wanting to replicate where I used like mint from the garden.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was good. I haven't had a chance to do that on like a production scale. Did a couple stouts that I like because I love stouts.
It's in your blood.
Yeah.
Literally.
Technically,
yeah.
It's part of me. Yeah, most of my homebrewers were not successful.
Do you, to this day, today, do you homebrew at all? Or are you just too busy?
No. Partly because I've been living in, after I left, because Houston, my friends had a house. So it was a lot easier to do homebrewing at a house as opposed to an apartment.
Right.
I've done like gallon batches and like fermented them and growlers and stuff like that, but it's just not the same. No. I don't know why, but it's not the same to me. It's not like they failed spectacularly or anything like that. It's just not the same to me. I did some at JJ, but I would at Joseph James, but I would do it at the brewery. Kind of the same thing. Like I would, actually I have a bottle of this, the last bitch.
Last pitch.
And I was looking at Diaz.
Oh, thanks.
So our flagship beer at Joseph James was a pale ale called Citra Rye. So it was a rye-based pale ale.
Oh, cool.
Prominent Citra hops. That was the last batch of beer that we brewed there before we were closed. And I pulled off like 15 gallons of wort and put it on Saison yeast.
Oh.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I do have a bottle of that. I think it's the last bottle. It was like
here?
Yeah. That's one of the ones I have with me.
Look at David's
just
face.
Got excited.
Just, I mean, a rice the emoji on? With yeah. the stars.
Yeah,
like,
I totally just did.
Yeah, I would do stuff like that at Joseph James. I would just pull wort that I was knocking out and do something different than whatever the base beer that I was brewing that I was knocking out was.
That's yeah. freaking rad.
I thought of rye saison in my recipe repertoire.
I love brewing rye. Rye is one of my favorite things to brew with.
Really?
Yeah, I love rye.
So that was in Houston, though.
No, that was in Vegas.
No, right, JJ.
Yeah.
And
I would just actually, we had like those weird White Labs yeast kegs that have like 10 ports on them, and I would just use those to ferment in because it's better than a bucket.
Oh, yeah.
So astronomy was where I went in Vegas after Joseph James. Matt Brady, the owner, he had a homebrew, a nice, like, I want to say 15-gallon homebrew setup.
Oh.
When I first started there, it was still COVID, so I wasn't brewing full time. Like, we just weren't busy. I don't even think tap rooms were open yet. We hadn't started opening back up.
No, tap rooms in Vegas didn't open back up for a while because the last time I was in Vegas was for that Beer Zombies beer festival when I took Saltfire with me. And then literally the world shut down like 2 weeks after. And then I didn't go back to Vegas until May, I think, is when tap rooms started opening up again.
Yeah. So I might be getting ahead of myself. But when I started at Astronomy, Matt had just let his previous brewer go. And it was still during COVID. So, like, he just wasn't busy. He didn't have a canning line or anything. So it was mostly, no, it was at the time all draft. And this is during COVID. So it's whatever people were coming to pick up growlers for was it. But he needed somebody to brew. And I had just, Joseph James had just closed. And I was working part-time at Abel Baker to help out Marino because he needed help and he knew I was unemployed.
Yeah.
And Marino trusted me. I had a couple other people in the Vegas town that were interested in hiring me. But again, it was during COVID, so it just wasn't busy. So nobody could justify bringing anybody on. But everybody knew I was unemployed.
Well, because you also knew Jamie, who ended up at Scenic Brewing.
Yeah, but right. He's a Big Dogs now.
He's at Big Dogs now. Yeah. Okay.
David Pasquale at Big Dogs. He's one of the guys I talked to. Great guy. I think I could have this wrong, and I'll apologize if I do. I think he's the most award-winning brewer in Vegas.
In Vegas?
Oh. Yeah. I think he's won the most JBF medals.
Yeah, you're right.
Great dude. Just a solid guy. Most people in Vegas are just solid people. Most people in the brewing scene there. But anyway, somebody was like, hey, Brady needs a brewer at Astronomy. And Astronomy had only been open, I think, a year and a half at the time. And this is a long way of saying, yeah, he had a pilot system too. I just got back to your original question. We weren't busy. I wasn't brewing big batches of beer. So just to kind of keep myself busy and to try to start releasing something every week for people to come in and grab growlers of, I was just brewing stuff on like 5-gallon, 10-gallon batches on the pilot system just to try to draw people
were
in.
Were they your recipes or were they their recipes?
No, that was mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how many times did you think you brewed down there?
On that thing?
Yeah.
Probably like maybe 10 times.
Okay.
Once.
Now it's during COVID.
Yeah. Once things started to open back up, I was more on the big system, like pumping out beers. Cause we brought in mobile canners and started canning. With me doing all the production side, cause I did everything there. I was seller and it was just me. Brady would help out as needed, but it was me and on the production side, but that gave him more time to go out. Cause he was our only sales guy, quote unquote.
So right.
Got him time to go around town and sell the beer. And then also, Kyle Weniger, previously of Joseph James, my old boss, he started, his own brand called Juxta Nomad, where I can't remember his tagline, and he can punch me in the arm for it later, like Nomadic Brewer or something like that. Essentially, he goes around to other breweries and has his, he's going to hate my description of this, have brew his beer for him. But we had the tank capacity, and I was a known commodity to Kyle because he used to be my boss, so he knew.
Sorry.
He knew he could just give me a recipe and be like, here, make this without having to
worry about you and watch
without
you
babysitting it. Yeah. So that became a thing where we were the main, I mean, he does it with a bunch of breweries around town, but like a lot of the beers that have Juxta Nomad on them are produced at Astronomy to this day. Even after I'm gone.
Yeah. I just found his Instagram and it's just a brewer who can't sit still. So that's what Kyle does. He just goes around to different breweries and basically has the recipe, right? And
yeah. Just brews it there. So he, I mean, they're collaborations.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a lot of
traveling brewer.
Yeah,
basically.
Except for, well, here's the thing. So when he started, I love giving him crap.
so do I.
It's easy.
Yeah.
But so when he started, his whole tagline was Nomadic Brewer. And then he was just posting all these pictures of like treating barrels and stuff like that and adding fruit and stuff. So I was like, you're not a nomadic brewer. You're a homeless cellar person.
You're a homeless cellar person. Should I message him
I
right
like
now?
That.
Oh, I said it to his face.
I actually ran into his wife at Abel Baker when I was just there over Halloween. And I was like, where's Kyle at? She's like, he's hungover. And I was like, that checks out.
He's always hungover.
I like the concept of doing that. But then you left. What made you leave Vegas? If it's not too personal. And why Utah?
So my sister and her family have lived here for I don't even know how long. My sister originally moved out here in the late 90s, I believe.
Right when NSYNC and Backstreet Boys were just making their...
I mean, I'll take your word for it.
98 degrees,
98
homie.
Degrees, yeah, my bad.
Do you guys need me to leave?
You want
to
have this conversation on your own? You got to do the deep cuts.
Just got nostalgic as fuck in here.
Where's my choker at?
Oh, shit.
The necklace that you wear, you nerds.
Oh, we know.
Okay, calm down. Next on Taste.
What was the question?
Right? So what about your sister?
Yeah, so my sister moved out here in the 90s, loved it, met her now husband here. When they started to have a family, they moved back to Virginia, but then they hated living in Virginia, so they moved back here. When my dad passed away, my mom came out here with them. So my whole family's here.
Even your brother?
My brother's in Seattle, but he was here at the time when I was living in Vegas. He was living here in Salt Lake as well. And, you know, without getting too somber or anything, my mom's an older woman. She's in her 80s. And I just decided that I also hated the desert. Living in Vegas is so goddamn hot.
I was there for 18 years. I'm well aware.
It's just so... That last year I was there, you were already up here.
Mm-hmm.
We hit the 90s in like March.
Yeah,
and it didn't get below 90 until I think the end of October.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Triple
digit. You just can't go outside. It's like living in an oven.
It's still 100 degrees at midnight in Vegas.
Yeah. And there's
all summer.
I mean, there's also the whole, to me, there's the ecological thing of like, there shouldn't be a city there. You know?
Yeah.
The mob had a plan. Okay.
Look at Lake Mead. Look at Lake Powell.
Oh,
there shouldn't be cities there. You know, I hate to say that. I have a lot of people that I care about a lot who live there. But you know, I'm from Northern Virginia. I'm from the Mid-Atlantic. I'm from a temperate climate. So I wanted to get out of the low desert. I realize I'm still in the desert here, but the high desert's a lot different than the low desert.
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah. So getting out, I wanted to leave Vegas. I didn't know where. And then I was like, well, my family is 6 hours away. And again, my mom is in good health, so don't get me wrong about saying that. But I was just like, you know, she's older. I should probably move closer. So, decided I was going to move up here.
Still wanted to stay in beer.
Yes, 100%. When I told Marino this at Abel Baker, he was like, oh, you know, Diaz lives up there. I was like, oh, shit, forgot about that. Because at the time, we knew each other, but we didn't really hang out or anything in Vegas.
No, yeah. I mean, like I said, you would just come to the tap takeovers at 595. Yeah. And like, I recognized your face as soon as I saw you walk through the door at Bewilder. I was just like, oh, yeah. But like, just like the name didn't stick with me for some reason. Sorry.
Yeah. So Marino was
Patrick
like
Patrick Wong.
I don't know.
Jesus.
Do you know how many Patricks I know?
That's a lot of Patricks, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of us.
It's a true story.
But yeah, so Marino was like, Diaz is up there. And I guess you were already doing Sweet Vinyl at the time because he mentioned the cupcakes or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I started that in 19, I think, is when I put in for my business license up here.
Okay, yeah. So he essentially was like, Diaz knows everybody up there.
That's not a true story.
But I don't know how we didn't get in touch then, though.
In Vegas, you mean?
No, when I told Marina I was going to move up here, and he was like, Diaz is up there. She can help you find a job. And then for some reason, we didn't get in touch. I don't know why.
Because it probably COVID.
The world shut down.
Yeah, the world possibly. Shut down.
Well, no, this was after. Because I was at astronomy.
Oh, you were at astronomy doing COVID. Okay.
Yeah, but things had opened back up at that point.
Weird. I mean, did he give you my number?
I don't think so. That's I would have reached out.
Yeah, you would have if you had my phone number.
Be a
better
anyway,
stalker, dude. I don't know.
I think it was like the fall. I didn't want to move during the winter.
No,
so
call.
I was planning on just coming up in the spring, regardless of what happened, and just keep my eyes open. But then I saw I saw a job posting for Shades, hiring for a brewer. So I applied, and they got me a job, so I moved up here.
So that was the spring of 2021?
No. Well, September of...
Oh, so fall of 2020.
What year is this? 22?
This is We're 22. In 22.
Yeah.
We just had our year anniversary.
The world ended
Get
two
it
years
together.
Ago.
So yeah, it was September of 21. September 21. Of last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's when you got the job at Shades.
Yeah, yeah.
Helping them out, brewing the beer over there.
Yeah.
And how long were you at Shades for?
I think I started at Squasatch in February.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Nice.
So through the holidays, yeah.
Okay,
so at least like 5-6 months-ish. Yeah.
In outsider's perspective, going into Utah, I know your family was here, you're living here, but what was your opinion or your knowledge of Utah beer before you came here?
You know, I know the whole like low point thing,
okay.
Although it still throws me now that I'm here, the whole difference between low point and high point, what can get served and what can't, and where can you buy everything? As far as like the quality of the craft beer scene, I had had Red Rocks because I came out here once to visit my sister. I was definitely 21 at the time, so it was probably the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. And we went to one of the Red Rocks tap rooms. And I remember liking it a lot. But that's all I really knew. I'd had Uinta in other places just because I don't know what their distribution footprint is now, but you know, there was a time where they were nationally distributed. I would imagine they still are.
They still are, yeah.
Okay.
For the most part.
So yeah, I'd had Uinta beers that I liked. That was probably it.
Hmm. And then coming to a brewery, seeing what Shades is doing, because they're an award-winning brewery,
yeah.
Doing fascinating things. Did you kind of learn from, at the time, I guess Marcio was the brewer.
Yeah, Marcio was the head brewer. Yeah, when I started there, Marcio was the head brewer. Trent, one of the owners, he more did admin stuff. I mean, he would help us can and things like
right.
that. Don, who I know you know Don, because he's been on here, he had just started the week before I did in the cellar because they were hiring for a cellar position as well. And so I was going to be the regular brewer. Dom was in the cellar. Wolf, we
yeah.
all know him. Oh,
love. Yeah. Now he was
the packaging master, canning line master. Yeah, that's who the team was there when I started.
That was a good team. Solid team. You guys yeah. made it through COVID. And
yeah. I mean, they did it before me. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
But you came and held the ship down and yeah, produce some award. You're an award-winning beer maker, technically.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because you had a they won GABF that following.
I don't know if that's necessarily anything I made.
But you're part of that team.
I've definitely worked at award-winning breweries. Some won awards before I was there. Some won awards after I left, but. I've never been at a brewery when they won an award.
Gotcha.
So whether I've had my hands in making beers that have won awards, probably, but I don't want to take away from the people that
absolutely
have actually that were there that won the medals. You know,
right? Right. I was thinking in my mind, I'm thinking the timing should have been you should have been there anyway. It doesn't matter.
I mean, yeah, I probably had a hand in some of the beers that Shades has won awards
Did
for.
You,
but Don and Tanya deserve. The credit that
oh,
they
yeah.
get for those.
They're kicking ass right now.
Yeah.
Did you learn a shit ton from Shades? A little different Utah scene from Vegas scene? Because you were already brewing. Then you come to Utah, another state, another rules, different culture, if you will.
Yeah.
Different
yeah,
beast.
Learning about the all the laws, which I still don't have straight
we,
in my
we
head.
We live here and we don't even
yeah,
know,
I know.
The laws. So
it's...
The legislative don't even know the
they
laws.
They change them all the freaking time. That's
yeah,
all.
It's
yeah.
maddening.
It's okay.
To me.
Yeah. Welcome to being confused. I'm just gonna make a beer called Confused.
Yeah.
Oh my god, you should.
Question mark. Question mark.
And
question
it should
mark.
Be
ABV,
like a,
see what happens.
A white stout.
Yeah, that was yummy. That was definitely a big part of Shades was just realizing how turned around the laws are. Or how trying not to be insulting, but it's insane the way the laws are run here.
Yeah.
In every state, I can say this having lived in several different states. Every state. Because that was the downside of the end of Prohibition, is every state got to do whatever they wanted to do. And every state has its own little quirks. But the different alcohol levels in beer is and what can be poured especially at a tap room, like at the tap room of a production facility, you still can't pour
your own product.
Yeah, you're the high point that you create in that facility. You can't pour unless you have this tavern license, I think.
Well, even, for example, here, we at Ketos are only allowed to pour 5% beer, but we can brew High Point, but we can only sell it to go because we don't have a specific license set.
That tavern license you're talking about, I can now open the can of the High Point that you maybe put in.
You can serve
and
it.
And serve it to the customer.
It just
blows my mind.
But you have to have another license for that.
So you want me to put my product and waste material to put it in a can. So now I have things that are recycled. Now I'm making trash.
Yeah.
In my own space. That's just, it's confusing.
It's backwards.
Anyway, I saw all this unfold when Shades opened their downtown tap room because they took the license that they had at the brewery, which was to, is it a tavern license?
Tavern.
Yeah. So if they had the tavern license for the tap room at the brewery, and to open the downtown tap room, they moved that tavern license so that they could serve High Point and, you know, mixed drinks and stuff like that. Because the downtown taproom was more like a restaurant, bar restaurant, in my mind.
Right.
So that meant the taproom at the brewery could then only serve Low Point again. But they could still, but it was, there was something even weird about the to-go beers that they could sell. Like, I can't remember if they, I think they couldn't even sell
the
High Point to-go.
Oh, man.
I was just like,
I'm getting a headache just thinking about it.
I know, dude. Seriously.
And like watching Trent and Alex go through the hoops to try to figure that out. Like, Alex was on the phone with the DABC or whoever handles all that stuff
DABS
all the time.
Now?
Yeah. DABS, whatever it is.
They got rid of control and put service.
Just to try to figure that out to get, because, you know, it's insane to me to go to the tap room at a brewery and not be able to try the beers.
Yeah, what they produce. Yeah. Fascinating. So, P. Wong, so after you left Shades, you went and got a job at Squasatch Co-op, Westside Tavern.
Yep.
And you've been there since. And where are you located in the Westside Tavern?
I run the cellar. I don't run the cellar. I'm in the cellar.
You're in the cellar.
And so, yeah, you got me.
You got your own job.
David got me hooked up. So they were hiring for a brewer. Two people who may or may not be sitting in front of me got me in touch with
got your own job. I had an interview for you.
Got me in touch with Ryan, who is the head brewer there.
Shout out Stamba.
Yeah. And after talking to a couple people and them looking at my work history, they were like, well, we have a bigger hole in the cellar. Do you mind working in the cellar? I was like, I don't care. Like, all I want to do is make good beer. So hot side, cold side, I don't care. So yeah. So I work in the cellar there for the great Mikey T.
Yeah. Who I can't wait to meet one day. One day I'll meet him. You're liking it right now?
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad you're happy. It's nice to have you working a nice, you know, just, I mean, you were happy brewing all the time, but now you're at the co-op. You see the community. I feel like you're in the middle of everything. You see everyone doing their thing.
Yeah.
And you're happy. You seem very content right now.
Never content.
No.
But I enjoy what I'm doing.
I like that. Well, on that note, we'll come right back. Shout out to our longtime and extremely supportive sponsor, Fisher Brewing Company. As one of the staples of Salt Lake City, Fisher Brewing is a must visit. With a different food truck every day, a loving, attentive staff, canned beer, and some of the sickest swag in town, Fisher Brewing Company is a spot you'll never forget. Trust us when we say, when you walk through those doors at Fisher Brewing Company, you will feel the atmosphere and you will feel loved. See you at Fisher, my friends. So,
I like tea.
Patrick, again, explain to us the three bottles you have in front of us.
So, we'll start chronologically. I've got a barrel-aged smoked porter with cocoa nibs from Joseph James. This beer was made before I was there, as Kyle likes to point out. he did win a gold medal for this at GBF.
That's really cool.
This is my last bottle.
Uh-oh, I want to open that.
Because when Joseph James closed... I don't care about saying this at this point. We all took as much beer as we could.
I bet you did.
So I had two cases of this, and I'm down to one bottle now.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's that. There is the Saison I was talking about earlier that I made.
That rye Saison.
Yeah, it was the Citra Rye Pale Ale wort that I put on Saison yeast. I honestly, it's been so long, can't remember if I dry hopped this or not. I want to say I did, but I can't remember. And then at Astronomy, I made a Trappel as a collab with Marino at Abel Baker. I've got a bottle. I bottled like one case because I wanted to bottle condition it, because what's the point of doing Belgians if you don't try to bottle condition?
My man.
The only issue is I don't know if it's carbonated.
My man.
I've been told that it is not. I've been told that other bottles have been opened and did not carbonate. So that's unfortunate. It is over 11%.
Oh boy.
Yeah. It finished like 0.6 Play-Doh.
Drive me timbers. So I say pour that one.
All right.
Do you think that's the one we got to do?
Do it.
The Trappel?
So yeah. P. Wong, while you're doing that, I'm going to ask Diaz a question and come back and fire a question your way.
No, I wasn't supposed to be interviewed.
So Diaz, I need to know, the people need to know, are you making motherfucking cupcakes or not right now?
Yes.
Are we going full time with it?
Not full time. So I'm still over at Grid City. I am bar managing there. I am cutting my hours back at Keto, so I will be just wenching around here for special events and parties. I just really like helping my friends, and all my friends need my help, so I'm just going to do that. But I am taking custom orders, you know, weddings, birthdays, cool, so you all are. Of that. I'm not coming back as a wholesaler just because the cost of literally everything has skyrocketed, right? And the point of doing the wholesale accounts was for more promotional than anything else. And while I am so appreciative and so grateful for everybody that was on that train with me, and like all the breweries, all the tap room managers that had me in their tap rooms with the cupcakes, it's just at this point in time with the cost of everything, it just doesn't make sense for me to do this full time. But I am going to do, like I said, markets. I'm doing the TF market in December. I'm doing a market this following Saturday at Mama Chari Kombucha. So, any opportunities in that capacity, I'm super open to. And, send me all your homies are celebrating
we
things.
Will. Well, thank you. I'm glad you're alive. I'm glad
me
your
too.
Arms
and my the doctor healed. Said I'm good to go. I'm an alien, apparently, but we're good.
Oh. Yeah, we already knew that.
You keep Welcome. Saying that.
Welcome to the story.
Yay. Well, because I healed super fast, apparently. Even the doctor was like, you don't even need physical therapy. I was like, whoa, sick dog. Thanks, homie.
Wow. Give me some of your energy.
Yeah, do you want some of my blood, apparently?
I would love
Maybe
that,
I am actually. A vampire, y'all. Vampire bruja.
I've never seen you in the sunlight, so. So, P. Wong.
Yes.
You're in the cellar at Squawsatch.
Yep.
But you are, sometimes I feel like cellar people, individuals in the cellar get squandered. They kind of get put on the side. You are a brewer. You know how to brew. You can brew. So what does it take to people get more acknowledgement for those in the cellar? They're just as important cold side as hot side.
Yeah. It's kind of hard. I think the cellar is harder to learn than brewing. So the brewers create the work. They create the base of the beer. And it's extremely important. I mean, the grain bill, can make or break a beer. The hop additions, any other adjuncts you might want to add during the hot side. But so much can go wrong in the cellar. So much more than I think anywhere else in production. And I've worked all three sides, like hot, cold, packaging. Just starting with how you handle the tank, how you clean it, how you sanitize it, how you move the beer around. Depending on whether you pitch the yeast or not, or whether the brewer does. But typically the cellar handles the yeast, how the yeast is taken care of. It's dry hops, adjuncts, cold side adjuncts, transferring the beer. I think part of the reason also I think cellar is so much harder to learn is that you're typically doing something different every single day. Whereas like brewing, you're essentially going to be doing the same thing every day over and over again. It's easier to learn at least for me, it was easier to learn because it's based on repetition. In the cellar, it's like, okay, today you need to clean this tank. Tomorrow you have to dry hop this. The day after that, you have to transfer a beer, and then you got to clean the tank that you just transferred. Well, if you're just learning, you cleaned a tank and then you didn't do it for 3 days. Like, you're constantly having to go back and recheck what you
and
did.
And Rolodex. Yeah. Like, all right, yeah.
It's, I think the seller definitely doesn't get enough credit.
So how do we change that? We change that instead of saying brewer and seller, do we define it as beer chef, beer family? Like, you know, I hate labeling things,
but
I do label things.
Sous chef of the brewery, yeah. Basically.
But like, well, so,
it's just a fascinating, and there's not really an answer for it, I think.
No. Well, I think there is, but I think it's an administration thing more. The first brewery I was at, Buffalo Bayou, when I became the head or lead or whatever my title was there,
that guy.
We merged the staff of the cellar and the brew house so that there weren't brewers and cellar persons anymore. They were just brewers, but they worked in both hot and cold. And the way I tried to set it up is that you split your shift, you split half of it in the cellar and half of it on the brew house. So that was part of it. Like, you had to know how to do everything right up until the beer went to the canning line.
Yeah. It's important. The life of the beer.
Yeah. Right? To me, that was a big way for people to recognize, especially my own staff, like what the cellar had to go through. Cause I didn't know. I was a brewer for 3 or 4 months before I even stepped foot in the cellar. And then when I became the head of those guys, I spent almost all of my time in the cellar. I was barely ever in the brew house. I would occasionally, if I got tired of being in my office, I would kick my brewer off of the platform for an hour or two, just so I could get out of the brew house or get out of my office. But I think it starts with the people in the industry recognizing what cellar people have to go through. I shouldn't say what they have to go through, but what their job roles are.
Yeah.
And, you know, how they handle the beer. I mean, I don't know exactly how it is at Strap Tank, but I'm sure you have to do both.
Yeah, I do all of it.
Yeah.
And I was blessed and fortunate enough to learn doing both instead of one side or the other.
Yeah.
So I got to see, oh, this shit is just as important. The only thing we don't do is production. So I have a bottling line, we don't can. And yeah. So I'm not familiar with canning, but I appreciate those can, you know, they can dial on those canning machines and figure out how to can. And I would like to learn that, but at the same time, a little nervous. Like, I don't want to fucking learn that.
Yeah. I never wanted to learn how to run a canning line. I was telling you earlier, one of our current cellar guys was in mobile canning for years back in Virginia. And he's always telling me about messing with like a forehead goose. I think it does start with people in the business itself, like acknowledging. I don't like, it's not to say that it's not deserved by any means, but I just don't like that the brewers are held up as the peak.
The like, be all God.
Yeah. Industry, because there's so many other people that are involved. I hate packaging. Most of, especially after COVID, there's so many brewers that wouldn't be around if it wasn't for the packaging teams, you know?
True.
Like, yeah, I mean,
if you couldn't sell your beer off premise, you were done. How many breweries closed?
Well, Utah got fortunate. We only had one closed during the pandemic.
Yeah.
But the rest of, I mean, across hundreds of thousands across the...
What, Toasted Barrel was our only casualty?
Mm-hmm. But yeah. I think this goes back to your question earlier about the how I felt about the laws here. I think that's how I think the breweries here were set up a little differently to survive, in that because you had to package so much of your beer, a lot of the breweries here already had canning lines.
I never thought of that.
So they were already set up to better sell off premise.
So there's a positive towards it.
Yeah, there's a positive towards having to package all your stuff.
I mean, that's just my perception. I wasn't here during the pandemic, but that's like...
You're completely right.
Yeah, because like I said, when I was at Astronomy, when I started there during the pandemic, we didn't can. We didn't package.
So it was just growlers.
Yeah, that didn't start until I was started there and we decided to start.
The only place I know that we survived, Strap Tank survived, because we have a restaurant attached to our...
Yeah.
Right, so that's it, Kate. You know, we didn't go through beer at all for a while.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about other places. Most breweries have a can line.
Yeah.
Or to-go beer available.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that probably helped a lot of places survive.
You win, Utah.
Yeah, thanks, weird well, laws.
Let's get on this beer real quick. So,
oh, yeah.
This is the Able Bakery and
Able Baker Astronomy. Abel Bakery.
There's no bakery.
I know, I always say Abel Bakery. Abel Baker.
Everybody thinks it's a bakery.
Yeah, I know, because, yes, I know. Really?
Yeah, well, because Abel Baker. But, I mean, once you learn the history that it's named after the first two atomic.
I was making their beer when I started Joseph James, so yeah. I know.
Yeah, but if you're an outsider, they're like, is this a bakery? And I'm like, no, that's the first two bombs that were dropped in Nevada's atomic test site. First one was Abel, second one was Baker.
And so this is from Abel Bakery, right?
So this
Randy's
was
going to be like rolling.
Matt Marino, the head brewer at Abel Baker, wanted to brew something Belgian and didn't have the tank space. And I did at Astronomy, or we did at Astronomy. So we decided, we both like big beers. So we decided to do a Trappel.
Nice.
We did two brews to make this. And the first one we used honey. And the second one we used dextrose, so just to dry it out.
All I get is honey from that nose. Right? It's so pretty.
Which is weird because that didn't show up when it was younger.
Sometimes it takes time.
Yeah, this is a couple years old at this point, and it didn't, you know, it didn't bottle condition, but it still smells pretty good.
It smells like Honey Nut Cheerios to me. I get a lot of, I get that Cheerio kind of nose.
Yeah, without the carbonation, like, I think the honey comes through a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Still pretty tasty. Almost,
yeah, oh my gosh, it's really tasty.
Yeah, carbonation would definitely change this beer.
Yeah. But yeah, that's over 11%.
Kind of dangerous.
And which is why we only take one sip.
And I did, this was, like I said, this beer is like 2 years old at this point, but I did fill two Chardonnay barrels with it as well.
Nice.
Ooh.
That was pretty tasty.
I bet I would have loved to have.
So this is, I don't think we broached the subject yet, but we just got a pilot system in at Squasatch. This is definitely a beer I'm going to try to revisit. Yeah.
I'm very impressed with this.
Thanks.
Still get some of those nice esters there.
Yeah. That's one of the things I love about.
Yeah. If this would have been carbonated
yeast esters.
Yeah. For being 2 years old and still there. It's really cool. I'm fascinated by this beer right now.
Yeah. I'm a little bummed it didn't carbonate.
Yeah, I mean, that is unfortunate, but shit happens. What, the other day, someone told me, we're not curing cancer, just making beer, making wort. I'm like, oh, yeah, calm the fuck down.
Calm the fuck down.
So, B. Wong, I know, you know, you love beer. Earlier you said you love wine as well. Are we going to open our own brewery one day? Are you going, what's some goals you have for the beer industry? What do you want to do?
I've considered it.
Do you want to go into spirits? Do you want to go into wine? You want to stick with beer?
I know nothing about distilling. I would like to learn about distilling, but I don't know anything about it.
If an opportunity arose, would you jump upon said ship?
Rumor has it Holy Stone needs a distiller, right?
I'm not about.
I'm like, yes, go make gin.
I'm not opposed to it, but again, I know nothing about distilling. I would want to learn about it first.
Before you jumped into it?
Yeah.
But isn't sometimes the best way to learn to get thrown into the fire?
Yeah, I know, feet first. But I do have a love for beer, craft beer.
Why? Why beer more than spirits, and why beer more than wine? I've been trying to answer this myself, so I'm curious to know someone else's take on that question.
I don't know how well... this probably isn't a great answer for an interview. I don't know how well I could put that into words. Like, I know the history of how I got into craft beer. So, like, I get a little lost in my thoughts sometimes.
ADD. It happens to all of us.
Yeah.
That's Sports Center.
It's ESPN.
What does that have to do with ADD?
Nothing. Right. That's why.
What? Where am I? So, like, the first craft beer I ever had, there was a brewery in Virginia. I think the label is still around, currently owned by Anheuser-Busch, I believe, called Old Dominion Brewing Company. They're in Northern Virginia. They're one of the oldest craft breweries in Virginia. I think I was 17 or 18 at the time. I just went hiking with my sister and some of her friends. back in Virginia. And afterwards, they were like, hey, we're going to go take this tour of this brewery. So this is back, I was 16 or 17. I don't, bad at math, even though I'm Chinese.
wow.
We're talking.
Help.
96, 95, 96. Okay. So this brewery was in a, you know, a light industrial park. And their tap room, well, they didn't have a tap room. It was just, they would do tours, and at the end of the tour, they just had tap cold jockey boxes set up
on
the loading dock. So, yeah, like I said, I was 18 or 19 at the time. I just went because I was like, oh, this will be interesting. Didn't know anything. The only thing I knew about beer is that my neighbor, when I was a kid, used to sneak me sips of his tall boys of Budweiser.
Nice.
Hey.
That's all I know about beer. So we take the tour. They don't ID me or anything. So we take the tour, you know, learn that hops are related to weed, even though I didn't smoke weed at the time. And I was like, that's crazy. I was like, these things smell strong. I remember loving the smell of chocolate malt. Mm. And then at the end of the tour, you got a little tasting glass, and they had like, I think like six taps set up on jockey boxes, and you can just sample whatever you wanted. And I remember going right for no reason whatsoever. Maybe it's my Irish blood going for the Imperial Stout.
Motherfucker. Nice.
Of course you did.
Now, I probably had like 8 ounces, you know? I mean, in my mind, I had like two pints worth.
Yeah.
But I probably just had like 8 ounces and I was gone. And after that, I was just like sucking down glasses of their root beer.
Was it good?
It was great. Nice. Because it was actual root beer. Like, they didn't do it from concentrate kind of
stuff.
Nice. And that's when I kind of realized that beer didn't have to taste like shit. Beer could taste good. And I have a relatively low tolerance. That would be the Chinese side of me.
Well, I thought they're each coming out in different ways.
I know, right? Yeah, like, I know. Can't do math, can't drink beer because of, yeah.
Multiple personality disorder. Yeah, so I realized that, like, beer could taste good. Drawing a blank.
And that's where you and grew that love for it?
Yeah. And then I got into, like, you know, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, which is still one of my favorite beers. Anchor Steam. Anchor Steam is, hands down, probably one of my top three favorite beers ever.
Thanks, Bay Area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love Anchor Steam. And it's just that realization that, like, I would have friends who, you know, would go to parties with their fucking suitcase of Natty Light and be like, all proud that it cost them $8. And they're looking at me like I'm nuts because I spent $12. Well, not at the time. I spent like $10 on my six pack of Sierra Pale. I'm like, yeah, but it takes you that suitcase to get drunk. I can drink two or three of these and it tasted good.
That's a conversation that I have a hard time with my friends that don't understand. They know that I appreciate craft beer and crafted things, correct? I mean, I'm not taking away from, you know, Anheuser-Busch, the bigger ones. It's hard to make Bud Light taste like Bud Light every single time.
But they're great at it.
They're really good at it. So I have these friends that want to argue, but it's like one of those unspoken arguments. It's like they will bring, you know, the Bud Lights, the Coors, the
PBRs,
Natties, you know, and it's just... The one that I will cop out for is I'll bring Pacifico, which I don't think is bad. That's my favorite beer. Everyone knows that. But I also sneak in like Bohemian or Desert Edge or, and they're always like, what's this? Fucking try it.
Yeah. So that's like, that's a conversation point I've always tried to use with people. Whether it's, oh, craft beer tastes like shit or I don't like craft beer or I've never had craft beer. This is what I usually drink. It's the whole, if you like Coors Light, if you like Bud Light, if you like fucking Michelob Ultra, drink what you like. Because I told you, I used to sell wine too. And I would sell $100 bottles of Silver Oak. And I sold $5 bottles of Malbec. And people would be like, what, you know, that wine's fancy. It probably tastes better. I was like, it might not taste better to you. Drink what you like. Like, sure. People would be like, I like Franzia. They drink Franzia. But
Boone's Farm. Get it.
But if that's what, but the thing is,
that's what I used to
you're never gonna get somebody to get on board with what you are passionate about by talking down to them about what they enjoy. So the way if somebody's like, I only drink Bud Light, that's great. Keep drinking Bud Light. Try this Pilsner.
Yeah.
Or try this lager. I only drink Corona. Try this Mexican lager.
I don't like, because I'm not, I think people assume in my non-beer circle, they assume that I'm this, I want to say it slightly, I'm a beer snob. Like, I guess I can be.
I think there's a perception of all of us in this business that we're beer snobs.
No, you're right. And
I think a lot of us are.
I just would like to drink, again, I'm still opening my palate to figure out what I really, really, really like. Because if you looked me in the face and said, hey, what's your favorite style of all time? Name it. Favorite beer. I mean, you're going to sit there. You ask anyone in the industry, they're going to sit there going, that's a loaded question. It's all about, you know, opportunity. I think it's about, a lot of people think it's about where you're at. Situational beer drinking.
Yeah, seasonal.
Yeah.
Seasonal,
I would love a Pacifico right now, but at the same time, a nice Dunkel sounds perfect for this kind of weather.
Dude, it's like 28 degrees outside.
Dunkel would be great for this weather. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I just brought home a six-pack of our wit.
Great beer.
We brewed a Belgian-style wit for a fall beer.
Oh, I saw the...
And it's great.
Shout out to the Squatters bringing out the... God damn it, a brown ale.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to get that out on the way home. Not going to lie.
Nice.
That was made at part...
Expertly called Old Castle.
Old Castle. That's Nils. I know for 100% it's Nils, isn't it?
Actually, I think it was Squatters is Jason.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because Nils
is
Wasatch.
My bad. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Jason. My bad.
Yeah.
You got the lead singers wrong.
I know I did. Yeah. Great. By the way, both gorgeous.
very different ways. But yeah.
And I have to go pick that up because I saw it and I love a good brown.
Yeah.
Like, let's go.
I tasted it yesterday. But yeah, it's. Yeah, you're just I don't think it just applies to craft beer. You're never going to get somebody into something you're into by insulting what they're into.
Shrimp, like cheese. That. You know?
Yeah.
Fuck goat cheese. Well, have you tried this cheese? Yeah.
So.
Understood. So we have another beer in front of us. Shall we, do we need to switch it up? Are we done with this one?
It's as delicious
as I remember
as
how
is.
Well it tastes. It breaks my heart that it didn't carbonate.
It's okay.
So what's the next one there, P-Wong, that we're going to open up?
It depends on whether you guys want to go dark or stay light.
I think that you should keep this.
Keep that forever.
Keep that.
I kind of wanted to stab that.
We should stab it.
We could always stab this and
just
not just say what exactly it is that we're stabbing.
Yeah. The thing about it is I purposely left mine on home because I didn't know if I could stab here.
Oh, okay. I feel like the first podcast I listened to you stabbing was here.
But in
the
dark alleys of the brewery.
Yeah, we're on the west side of town. You can stab on the side.
All right, so everyone know you can stab at Keto's apparently.
Like, I don't but only when Diaz is working for.
Only when
we will hold on to this because we'll have
no fucks given.
I want to stab these later. I really do.
Okay.
Today?
No. I don't have my stab with me.
Oh, you didn't bring your stabby stab. Got
I
it.
Lighter. I don't.
We need a torch, fool.
So what's the second one again? That one's from
what was that noise?
So the two we have left are both Joseph. James?
That's the right Sazen, isn't
the
it?
Yeah. No, as Abel Baker Randy says, Saison.
Sazen.
What does Randy know? Is he going to listen to this?
I'm going to make Randy listen to this only because we've said his name like three times now.
Oh, yeah.
That is a super sexy noise.
Really?
Yeah.
So anytime you see Diaz.
God.
Hey, it's carbonated.
This one's really cool. How old is this one, you think? 2 years.
So
3 years.
I bottled this, I think, the last month that Joseph James was open.
So before COVID.
Right as COVID started.
So this is what ended the world. This is the world-ending beer.
Yeah.
The end of the world as we know it. Beer.
So this is, we wouldn't call it PB like before pandemic. You would
That's
call
a little
it.
Head heavy. I'll give that one. David, is that yours? I know you like head.
One of my beer tenders at Strap Tank, she wants to get a shirt that says Headmaster with a foam like that.
Oh my gatos. Whoa, the nose on that is crazy.
Ooh.
Dang.
So this is the Rye Saison.
Oh man, that smells wonderful.
So anybody who ever had Joseph James beers, Citra Rye Pale Ale was the flagship beer.
Yes.
Which Kyle also won a bronze, I think, for that, the first year he made it at GBF.
Yeah, I remember when we had that on tap at the bar. I used to love Joseph James tap handles because it had like the three hot bombs.
Yeah, the hot
on
bombs. Which,
yeah, and you have it tattooed on you.
Where is it?
There it is, right there.
I have the hot bomb tattoos.
Yeah, and that's how you knew.
Three or four of us idiots got it after
You're
Joseph James
idiots.
Closed.
That's adorable. I have a cupcake on me that, you know, when I'm older, I'm not going to have kids, but if I hypothetically did,
people
they'd be like,
tattoos
what
make me
that?
Sick. Okay?
You make me sick.
Try it. You'll love it.
Long hair. You luscious long hair.
People with long hair make me sick.
As a balding man.
Is that the Irish in you or a Chinese in you?
Probably a little bit of both.
Whoa.
I really love this nose.
Yeah. The nose on it is wonderful. The fact that it stayed carbonated like that.
This is the last bottle I have of this. I don't even know if there's any of this left.
Like at all? Like
I think I only
Kyle
got two cases
it?
Out of No, Kyle doesn't like Saisons. Or so he says.
What is... There are a lot of people that don't like Saisons.
Well, so also Citra Rye was his baby.
Yeah. So when you messed with it.
I bastardized it by putting it on Saison yeast.
How dare you put some yeast in here that I don't want?
Yeah, I've been sitting on this bottle, saving it for a long time.
I'm actually impressed with the hop profile on this. I thought it'd be more deterioration than there is. It's still very citrusy.
Yeah.
But it's not like gross ass. You know, lemon.
Like cleaner.
Yeah, pledge as well. Lemon pledge. Yeah, yeah. That's the brown in us. We like the lemon pledge.
Not a.
We like Fabuloso.
Fabuloso. That's what I thought.
Okay, fair. There is some at the house right now, okay?
Yeah. Which one, though? The purple one?
The purple one. Always the purple one.
The purple drink.
Purple drink.
That's our purple drink.
Oh, no.
We're going to hell for this episode. I like this a lot.
It's a solid beer.
Damn. Yeah, Saison yeast, huh?
Yeah. I don't even like I'm not a hop head.
The Saison yeast came from a Abel Baker beer.
Oh.
Because we were still contract brewing.
Was it from the, what is it?
Whatever the base beer for.
Test Site Saison.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, that Test Site Saison is their chamomile, honey, and ginger? Question mark?
Yeah, so we were just going to dump the yeast. Because we weren't going to brew another Saison, and I was brewing Citra Rye. So I was like, hey, I'm just going to take some of this yeast, put a little wort on it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the pilot system at Squawsatch. What's some of the first things besides this, the double you did? What's some things you want to brew on that to bring some variety to Squaws and Wasatch?
Well, I don't know if I want to give everybody else my ideas.
Okay.
That's totally fine. Kidding.
No.
He's got a secret
definitely,
recipe book.
So,
because you've brewed a couple times, you have recipes. I know you do. You have some you want to bring back to the fold and show us all what you can do as a brewer.
I would. One of the things I would like to do. So part of the issue we're going to run into at Burst, we've talked about several times so far, is doing high points because we currently can't pour high point at our tap room. Our fantastic manager Libby is trying to rectify that situation.
Shout out the Libby Taylor.
Libby.
By the way.
Ooh.
Yeah, she's trying to correct that. So I think for now, for the pilot system, my understanding, I could be wrong in this, is we're sticking with low points so we can, because we're not, with the size of our canning line, it doesn't make sense to try to push five barrels over to.
No, not at all.
It would take five barrels just to get the beer over to the canning line. So it's going to be draft, not crowlers, but draft. So we got to stick with low point to begin with. That's my understanding. So I want to do big beers. I want to do high point. I want to do this Trappel again. I want to do some barrel aging. We currently don't have a barrel program there, and I would like to get one going, even if it's something... my idea is to keep it small, keep it, obviously I don't have the final say in all this, but my idea is to keep it small, keep it taproom only. Like to go sales, but not distribute it. Sure. Have it only available at the beer store, the West Side Tavern. So I want to do, you know, big stouts. I want to do big Belgian beers, Trappel. Gold, like big golden nails, golden strongs, saisons. But to start, I'll probably just stick, like, my ideas are sticking with, like, just my tweaks on pale ales and, you know, maybe flavored cream ales and stuff like that, because cream ales lend themselves to adding adjuncts to so easily.
I like that.
Yeah.
Makes me happy. I'm excited to see what you're going to bring to the table, Squaws and Wachtats. I still feel like being part of the cellar, you're over here, but yeah. Once you get the opportunity to put that paddle in your hand, you're going to make some damn good beer and be like, oh shit, P1 can literally do everything.
I hope.
Yeah. What's something you want to make? I know this is a loaded question for you specifically, but to make a name for yourself in this industry, what do you want to do? Is there something you want to do? Is there something that you want to see
happen? I
want to
make a saison that actually sells.
Hey man, I'll buy it. I love saisons.
Yeah, we know you will.
I know.
But all of us are familiar with the saying, and anybody who listens to this, saison stays on.
For whatever reason. Oh, sad face.
Yeah, for whatever reason, they don't sell. They're probably one of my favorite styles. I would love to make a saison that was actually popular.
Yeah.
Why don't we just do profitable? Why don't we just do a like an Abel Baker collab up at Squasatch, and we do a version of their Calaveras y Flores that's barrel aged, since you want to start a barrel aged program.
But again, then we're talking High Point.
It's true. Yeah.
Fine. That's the control alt delete.
No.
The tweak of being in Utah. Actually, you asked me this earlier, and I think I totally changed the subject by just rambling. Kind of like I'm doing right now. I'm just going to keep going for a little bit. So David has to edit this out.
we're keeping it all.
I think, do I want to open my own space? Of course. I think that's every brewer's dream, is to have your own brewery. I don't think I've ever met somebody who didn't want to have their own brewery. I had a good situation at Astronomy because, you know, Matt Brady was kind enough to, yeah, I had to make beers that I didn't like. You know, we did fruited kettle sours, which I'm not the biggest fan of kettle sours. I think I find lactic acid to be very one-dimensional for me. But they sell. They sell like hotcakes. And if they pay the bills, then you make what pays the bills.
Yeah.
But I also got to do my own recipes, like the Trappel, you know? Like, that was just something I wanted to do. He also let me do a Belgian de Bel, which unfortunately I don't have. But, you know, these are things I got to do because I made the money making stuff. But would it be nice to have my own place? 100%. I had Diaz, I know I told you this before. I had a running joke in Vegas where I wanted to open a brewer's speakeasy. I essentially have a nano brewery where, like, maybe 5 or 6 taps, all beers that, because I like to say that I only like beers that nobody else likes. So we're talking like Anchor Steam and like a Hoppy Pilsner and just a regular old fashioned West Coast IPA and a porter. And then like bring in, you know, have a rotating tap of where I would bring in other brewers in town to make a beer that they can't commercially make on their system.
But they want to drink or they yeah. want to make so bad.
But have like a 1 or 2 barrel nano
system.
That's
so cool, dude.
And it was just a joke. And with it being Vegas, that's why it was the brewer's speakeasy kind of thing. Because it would just be beers
brewers
that
only.
It would only be brewers would be the only ones who would want to come to drink this stuff.
Right.
I mean, that's
people in the industry. Yeah.
Yeah. But then a lot of people were like, that's not a bad idea.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking it's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. How do we do this? How do we move it forward?
So I think.
I'm doing it.
Yeah. Hey. I said it first.
Oh,
it's on tape.
It's on tape. He's going to edit that out
yeah.
now.
No. So yeah, I think opening my own place would be great. I think I would love it. I think I don't necessarily like following trends all the time because I don't like. We talked about this earlier off mic. Like I'm not a big fan of juicies and hazies. They're just not my thing. Like, my palate is not set up for them. But you got to make them.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, you got to make them.
Do you see that style sticking around?
Yes.
That trend being heavy forever?
I don't know. It won't be as heavy as it is now, but it's a permanent fixture in the scene. Hmm. To go back to your other question, though, I do like what Kevin is doing at TF because I think he has bucked the trend with lagers. Like, he has opened a creative and successful craft brewery, small craft brewery, with lagers, which was almost unheard of, I think. I mean, you have outliers, but I think it's because he does it so well. Like, I think the ones that everybody knows of as lager breweries, it's because they do it so well.
Right, but he still makes the other fun stuff, if you will.
Yeah, he 100% does. I mean,
the whole team has to, right?
Yeah. But, I like, and I don't see Kevin very much, but every time I see him, I always like ask him some random question because.
Oh, he'll give you the time of day.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good
guy. He's so nice.
Great guy.
But just, you know, making that brewery out of beers that are not the quote unquote popular styles.
Yeah, even not though, all juicy and hazies, right?
Yeah, although he does.
Sure.
You know, they do those releases and they sell like gangbusters, like people line up for them, you know. Yeah, I don't know. Would I like to have my own place? 100%.
So outside,
will I? I don't know.
Maybe. That's a future question, right?
Yeah.
Outside of TF, though, who do you think is killing it out right now in the Utah game? There are a few. There are none. They're...
As Diaz will attest to, I don't go as out as much as I would like.
I invite you, and you just don't. You just, you're not. Easy, you guys.
Easy.
There's
not there. Like,
I have dogs I have to get home to at the end of work day.
Fine.
Who's impressing you right now?
Besides Squatters and Wasatch as well. Can't be your own.
Well, I always impress myself.
Oh.
Yes, stay away.
I think the place I enjoy going to the most, and I don't know why, it's not just the beer. I love going to Fisher. I love just going and hanging out at Fisher. And I don't know, I honestly can't put into words what it is. I love going to I love going to all the breweries in town.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I love Keto's. I love Hopkins. I love Little Grid Crossing, City. Grid City.
I prefer to go in Westside. Diaz isn't working, but yeah. So
closed caption, I'm flipping him off.
Easy, not on this episode.
I haven't made it up to Park City.
I think Offset. Oh, you guys Offset.
So like I haven't been up to Offset.
And then shout out to Troy over there at Park City Brewing. He's, I mean, outside of Park City, but he's trying real hard and kicking ass out there. And then you got Nils and Ray over there at.
Well, I have to work with Nils, kind of.
I wish I could work with him.
I met him for the first time. He's a nice fella.
No, right? I just fill up his keg brinks for him.
But then you should go to Heber Valley.
Oh, I love Heber Valley.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Heber Valley. I think what Clint Jones, I think I will say it here. I think I don't like telling, you know, I'm not saying this guy makes the best style, blah, blah, blah. You know, we all can agree. But I truly believe right now in the state that Clint Jones is making the best Belgian beer.
Yeah, the Belgian Trappel. It's so good.
And the irony behind it is he married a Belgian, so he kind of fucking knows Belgian.
Yeah.
His kid's Belgian.
He better.
Like, you know what I mean? So he has a love for it, clearly, and he is throwing that passion in Heber Valley, and it's kicking ass. What Clint Jones is doing at Heber Valley, I think, is very impressive, and if he called me within, you know, in the next day, like, hey, you want to open a brewery with me? Fuck yeah. Because that guy knows. He understands.
I know.
He's a brewer that just leads by passion. And he does whatever it takes to get the job done. And I got a man crush on that guy so hard.
Dude, if Heber Valley wasn't such a hike to get to, and because I live down here, I would work for Heber Valley in a heartbeat.
Well, now I got to go. I didn't know about the – honestly didn't know.
I'm excited to see what Helper Beer does. I think Jaron's going to kick ass and make a scene for himself down there. I want to hear more from Moab. I'll call him out right now. I love what Policy King's doing in Cedar City. I love what they're finally upgrading their equipment where they can have – even better shit coming out.
Yeah.
I think Dre and Sarah make one of the coolest black IPAs in the state. And then he has his Kolsch that I just fucking love. It's just
more than Bewilder's Kolsch.
I'm going to leave that one in the air.
Dang.
A lot of my friends, I have a friend, I mean, Cody makes probably the best Kolsch. You know, anyway, we can debate.
Yeah, McKendrick seems killing it.
But I love, you know, I love the people that don't get a lot of love, like the TFs or the Fisher or the, you know.
Well, that's why you asked the question. Like, it's
a loaded question.
Yeah, because I don't want to.
It's tough.
Like me saying Fisher is not me throwing.
No, but Fisher is a great vibe.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not trying to like. Can't think of the right word.
trying to make the cool kids seem cooler.
I have not been to a brewery here that I didn't enjoy.
Yeah, that's right. Because yeah. I met Sean Peterson from Toasted Barrel, going to Toasted Barrel.
Yeah.
I met him, and I'm like, I love this cat.
I love Sean.
I love this cat. And that guy is underrated, and that kid deserves...
Yeah, he's all right. I'm just saying that because I work with him.
You know what I mean?
But there's a reason why we both showed up with Fisher gear, right? It's because it's so recognizable. I mean, I live literally 5 minutes from Fisher and Ketos now.
I mean, I live Ketos. I wear Ketos and Fisher stuff all the time. I golf in TF. I have Hopkins swag. Like I all the swag. I love walking around in swag, especially the airport. That's my favorite place to go. What the fuck is that? Well, it's a Utah brewery.
Especially right now when you're like layering. So like the other day, oh my God, I was a walking billboard. I had a Hands kombucha long sleeve because I only own two long sleeves. And then I had, what was it? My Ketos jacket. Like I bought the jean jacket from Ketos. Yeah. I had a Fisher hat. Like it was just, I was just layered upon layered of just all local. And I was just like, I'm just a walking billboard for Utah.
Yeah.
Fermented scene right now.
I like Ketos' swag game. I like Fisher's swag game.
Yeah. We just got some new like wood grain sunglasses for Ketos that I'm like, where are they?
Are they prescription?
No. Well, we can pop lenses out.
No, but P. Wong, thanks for sitting here with us today, hanging out and opening these beers and hearing more of your story.
Thank you for the interest. I don't know.
You have a story, homie. Yeah.
No, you do. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about it is I had no idea you came from Virginia and I didn't know you lived in California. And the fact that you are a brewer and you give a fuck about beer and you have a big ass heart, dude, you know, and it's really cool to see. And it's really cool to hang out with you.
Put it away.
Every time that we hang out, it's always a fun time. And you've been so supportive of me and you barely know me.
Because you're great, David.
Stop.
I'm literally watching like the heart emoji guys staring at each other.
I just did my hair for you today.
Well, you were the matchmaker, Diaz.
I was the matchmaker. You know. Hey, are you looking for a bromance?
Diaz, you're great too.
Diaz is good at bromances.
I'm good at bromance connections.
Yeah. That's true. No,
David, I love what you do.
Thanks, man.
I love this.
Yeah. And hopefully it does you justice on this one today. Because you deserve to be spotlighted for a second, whether you want to be or not.
Quit hiding in the shadows.
I prefer to let the beer speak. For me.
Wow.
Put that on a shirt.
Like yeah. Let's make a shirt out of that.
bad stuff too. If I make a bad batch of beer and somebody says it, like I want to know.
I'd be like, this is busted out. Get it out of here.
Why it's bad. But yeah.
That's my
favorite. Do this because I love beer. I love the liquid. So I personally tend to I also ramble a lot, so I'd rather people just drink the beer that I make.
Well, if there's anything we can do for you, let us know, dude. We're there to help you and
drive me home.
But guys, thank you so much for today. Again, P. Wong, thanks for sharing from your cellar.
Thank you.
Cheers, friends.
Cheers.
You enjoyed.
Been another episode of The Tastemasters. Find us on Instagram at @the_tastemasters, Twitter at @the_tastemasters, or on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, DM us for any questions, or leave a review. Tell your friends, and thanks for listening. Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at @fuse_audio.